I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
For some perspective on outsourcing, we turn to two economists. They're Josh Bivens of the Economic Policy Institute and Claude Barfield of the American Enterprise Institute. First off, a question for both of you. Outsourcing is obviously a political issue this year, but how much of an economic issue is it? Claude Barfield, you first.
It's not a large issue, and I think it's not going to be, that is, economically, it's not having a large impact. The United States has 138 million people at work. Figured the source that people usually use by Forrester and companies projects 3.5 million people outsource jobs over the next 15 years. And you divide that up as 200,000 to 300,000 jobs a year out of 138 plus million. So we're really not talking about a large amount of absolute jobs. I mean, I think the tickling point for the for political pundits has been it's supposedly going up the scale. You're now having call outsourcing calls or services technology to India or wherever, as opposed to textiles or shoes before. But we're going to be competing with other countries in a number of sectors, and not just low-tech sectors, for the rest of the, for their foreseeable future.
Well, it's not just the political pundits, though, that are talking about outsourcing. I mean, if you go to the water cooler or the lunch counter, it's likely that you'll hear voters and employees talking about outsourcing, and usually with a great deal of worry. Is this not just a political issue? Is this an economic issue as well, or is politics driving this change? Josh?
Well, I think first you want to be careful about defining outsourcing pretty carefully. Outsourcing can happen in the manufacturing or the service sector. It's often just sort of a synonym for trade. Trade has impacted the manufacturing sector of the U.S. pretty heavily for the past 20 years. And I would argue that the growing trade deficit in manufacturing is responsible for a chunk of the job loss we've seen. The new aspect seems to be the fears that jobs that were once thought immune to globalization's pressures, white-collar office jobs, accounting, computer programming, are now up for grabs as well. And I think that's the real political driver, and that's what's made the story move forward.
And one of the things that I'm interested in, Josh, is what's the source of that anxiety? Is it the headlines that people are reading, the news reports, the fact that we're talking about this right now, or is it because they have a genuine fear or their employer has indicated that they could save a lot of money by doing business elsewhere?
I think the number one driver is the fact that we have an incredibly lousy labor market right now. We've never gotten so deep into an economic recovery and still failed to generate jobs on a large scale. People have been unemployed a long time, or they felt like their job has been threatened for a long time. And then along comes this new trend that journalists write about, jobs being sent to low-wage nations, and they think, oh, that's what's happening to me.
Mr. Barfield, help us, if you would, understand this phenomenon. First, we heard about the outsourcing of assembly line jobs, then heavy manufacturing, then customer service, call centers and the like, then information technology. Where does this trend go next?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that more and more sectors are open to competition. And, you know, this is something that we being the United States under both parties, have been pushing for, in the sense that we have pressed or tried to lead by example to have the lesser developed countries, whether they're in Asia or South America or Africa, to upgrade their skills to be able to compete more effectively in the world market. Some of these countries, China, India, these countries are doing things right. So that means that they're coming into the international economic market. So we are going to be competing in a number of different sectors.
To the extent that we do find ourselves in the midst of a jobless recovery, how does outsourcing or offshoring contribute to that?
Well, I think it's still a minor, and is likely from all projections that I've seen, remain a minor part of that, because, you know, we're outsourcing jobs, but we're also attracting jobs here. We have 6.5 million jobs that are dependent. These are insourcing jobs, as it were. 6.5 million jobs, and we have a $1.3 or $4 trillion foreign direct investment in the United States. So it's a two-way street.
Josh Bivens, that is interesting. That's a sort of factor that you don't hear much about in the outsourcing debate. That the work that's sent here to the U.S. by foreign companies. In fact, the Commerce Department reports that more service work was imported to the United States than was exported last year. Billions of dollars more. So we're not talking a small amount. What's the problem?
I think we could be sort of in services where we were in manufacturing trade 25 years ago. It's just companies are just now figuring out that they can make all sorts of services tradable that they just assumed couldn't be traded 20 years ago, accounting, computer programming. And I think we need to think long and hard about what that means for our economy and what we want to do in response to that. And I think the economic logic is lots of jobs can be digitized now. They can be done just as well abroad. And you've got this huge pool of very well-educated, underemployed people in the rest of the world, and there's going to be serious competition for a lot of jobs that were relatively insulated before.
Josh Bivens, Claude Barfield, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Josh Bivens is with the Economic Policy Institute, and Claude Barfield is from the American Enterprise Institute.